come to church for so many different reasons, but you come to church for the unity, amen? For gathering of brothers and sisters, because each of us go through different things and each of us have different needs, and we all share in that need, amen? We all share in the love. Today we're going to talk about love. Say that with me, love. And love never fails. Love is so consuming that it lifts people up when they're down. It's so consuming that it changes lives, even other people's lives that you don't know, when you give them love. Amen? And today is a day of joy and a day of sadness and a day of memory and a day of thanksgiving. Amen? And we got Thanksgiving coming, but we should give thanks every day. And this is a celebration. A year ago here, we had a celebration of a passing. Because how many know this isn't it? What you got today, this isn't it. That God's got something so beautiful for you. In fact, the Bible says we can't even imagine how beautiful it is where God's got. The Bible says no eye has seen or ear heard the beautiful things that God has for us. Amen? We have a celebration here a year ago of a passing of somebody who meant the world to me. Somebody that I loved as a young man, and I know that his family's here today. Diana, hi back there. God, if they had seats back any further, you'd be sitting in there, amen? And we celebrated the passing because he went from here to there. He went to where we're all going, amen? He went to the promised land. Say that with me, the promised land. And that's why we come to church, to hear about that, to know about that, to be sure of that, to have joy today, to have fun today, to celebrate today, to do the things you love to do today, knowing that there's something even greater waiting for us on the other side. And that is the strength of the church. Amen. That's your strength, to know that when you see as far as you can see, but on the other side is something even greater. Amen. That gives you joy in the time of sadness. That gives you joy in the time of heartache. Amen. That's where God comes in. That's when God says, I'm here. I got you. That's your God. Give him praise and glory this morning. We're going to share his word. Got a special speaker today. I pray that you hear every word he says to you, and that you get it in your spirit and it changes you, that when you walk out those doors today, you cannot be the same as when you walked in. Let's stand up and pray together. Lord, thank you for this day, Father. Thank you. Thank you for those in attendance, Lord. Thank you for those that need to be here today. Lord, I ask you to give them comfort, give them peace, give them that inner strength and that inner joy, Lord, knowing that it's you who's in charge of everything. And when you're in charge, it's all good. We thank you for the word we're going to read today. We thank you for the visitor coming to be with us today, to share his heart with us today. We thank you. Lord, we just simply say thank you for all that you do for us. We're going to sing and praise your name. We're going to smile and clap, and then we're going to have fellowship together later downstairs. We're going to enjoy just so much time together. What a blessing. This church is a blessing to each of us, to each of us as a whole. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this music. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name, can I get an amen?
Amen.
In honor, amen. This is just part of the journey. I lost loved ones. We've all lost loved ones in our lives. The peace that we have is knowing that we will be with them again. Amen. And where they are is no pain. Amen. Where they are is no sorrow, no sadness, joy, unspeakable joy. Who wouldn't want that for somebody that you love? Amen. Give them praise. To honor those that have passed in front of us, we need to rejoice. That honors them. We need to just have that joy, unspeakable joy. That honors the memory. And we just need to know, just to honor, to love, to lift up each other, to share in the joy of knowing that where they are is so beautiful. Amen. It doesn't take the sadness away of the missing, because I miss every day. I miss my brother every day, my father, my mother. Oh my God, you miss your mama. I know you do. But it's just a comfort. It's a comfort, amen? And in church, while you come to church, you're not alone here. You look around. You see people now who know your name, people who love you. Amen?
My wife and I were talking. It started again. Saw it on the news, saw it on TV, saw it in the newspaper. And I'm going to just put it to you this way. In the New Testament, anybody name any women in the New Testament? Any women? I know there was Martha, and there's, of course, Mother Mary, right? In the New Testament? Who said that?
That would be Martha.
No, that was Nancy.
Nancy, one of them.
The only woman that they talk about in the New Testament is Mary of Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is her name, but she's actually Mary of Magdalene. It's the only one. Do they know what she looks like? Anybody ever know what she looks like? Anybody know how old she is? Do you know that Jesus delivered her from 7 demons? It doesn't mean that he delivered her, Jerry said, delivered her from 7 sinful demons, amen? And maybe she had depression, maybe she had anxiety, but Jesus delivered this woman. This is what we know about her. He delivered her from 7 demons. She was in torment her life. Can you imagine being with 7 demons inside of you? Torment to the point where... And he delivered her from those. And she loved him from that moment on because he saved her life. Are you with me? Now if you read just a little bit further, you'll see that Mary of Magdalene, she wasn't alone. She had a couple of other ladies. You read in the book of Luke. She had a wife of Herod was with, Joanna was with her. And they were wealthy people. You know how I know that? I'll tell you how. Because it says in the Bible that they paid for some of the ministry. They helped them along the way to get things that they needed. They helped Jesus. They helped the disciples. They walked with him because they loved him. And they saw what he was. And they wanted to be with him. Now here's where I'm going with this. I saw in the news again, Jesus and Mary Magdalene were together and they had children together. I'm saying, of course it's Mary Magdalene, because unbelievers only know one woman in the New Testament, and it's Mary. You know, is that the only one? What about the woman at the well? Did Jesus have anything to do? Well, we don't know about her. We don't even know her name, but we know Mary Magdalene, and she loved him because he saved her life. People with itchy ears and people in the world, I want you to know, I want you to hear the testimony, because Jesus said something very interesting. Jesus said it. Who said it? He said, they're going to talk bad about me. He said, they're going to lie about me. They're going to tell you stories about me. There's going to be false prophets about me. There's going to be people writing about me that don't know me. There's going to be people who are against me, who are going to say and do things to turn my people against me. Amen? And guess what? It works. But not in this house, amen? Not in this house, because you know better. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know? I can tell you by reading the Word that she loved him for what he did for her, amen? If somebody saved your life, you would love them. Does that mean you have to have lustful desires for her? You see, Jesus was who? The Son of God. Amen? When he was 12 years old and he was away from his mother, Mary, and away from Joseph, they had to go back and find him. He was 12 years old. He was preaching in the synagogue. What did he say to Mary? I'm about my Father's business. What are you bugging me for? I got things to do for my Father. He knew who he was. Amen? Just because the disciples didn't know who he was, the apostles, the people didn't know. He was teaching everybody who he was. But he knew who he was. And let me tell you, spiritual love is, I mean, how can you compare that to the natural love that we have for our wives and our children? You love your grandchildren, your children, but you still get upset at them and you still listen. Spiritual love is so much more deeper into your heart, into your spirit. It's who you are that God loves, the inside of you that he loves. And people want to take that spiritual love and put it into the flesh. Say, we're going to write. Well, he was, somebody wrote that. Really? So who cares what somebody wrote? Amen? I'm sure there's a lot of things you've seen that people wrote, say, I don't believe that. That ain't true. That's crazy. Who's this person to write that? So somebody who didn't love Jesus, and there were people, guess what, who didn't love him? The Pharisees had him killed. Amen? They were still angry. You know, even after he proved himself to be the Son of God, they still were angry. So maybe somebody wrote something about that that saw them together. Amen? But my wife and I were talking about this, and she said that, and it was so interesting. She said, Mary Magdalene is the only woman that anybody that reads the New Testament knows their name. So they're going to throw him on Jesus. Amen? Whose report are you going to believe? Everything that Jesus did, he would throw away for lust? It's crazy, isn't it? And I wanted to share that with you because I want you to think when you see things like that. And when you hear about Magna Mary, you say, Jesus... He asked somebody, who else could it have been?
Well, I don't know.
They don't know, amen? Your God was the lamb that was slain, amen? The pure lamb that was slain, that's why we're here, because we believe in him, amen? Forgiveness, salvation, him, mercy, Jesus, amen? The lamb that was slain, your God, give him praise and glory, that's your God. And that's not opinion, that's testimony. I want to give you testimony of Jesus this morning. When you hear that, I saw it again and I say, here we go. And you know Christmas is coming, folks. You know it's coming. Accept it. Don't argue with people because then you sound like a fool. Somebody who doesn't believe in God will not believe you. Somebody that doesn't believe the Bible will not believe you. So if somebody says something, you turn around and walk away. Just don't even get yourself into arguing about something that, you know, you're going to end up arguing with a fool, and you end up sounding like a fool. Amen? But the Christmas is coming, and they're going to tell you that December 25th wasn't his birthday. Oh, really? Do I know what day his birthday was? No. It's not in here. So I guess we didn't really need to know what his birthday was. But I'll tell you this, you've heard this before, I want to tell you. We celebrated my mother's birthday, Greg, on December 24th. Every year, she was born Christmas Eve. My brother Johnny was Christmas Eve, George, remember? My mother passed away, went to be with Jesus in heaven. We got her birth certificate. She was born on December 18th. So does that mean my mother didn't exist? So if we pick that date, that's the date we come back together as Christians and say, this is the day our Savior was born. Amen. We celebrate the birth of our Jesus. Well, it could have been the springtime. I don't care. This is our time. Amen. This is our time from as far back as we all can remember. That's our Lord and Savior. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this book. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for Matthew, Luke, Mark. Thank you for John, our visitor today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these people. Thank you for David, for Solomon. Thank you for Isaiah. Thank you for those that taught us the way. Thank you for Job. Thank you for the lessons. Thank you for Moses. Lord, thank you that this book tells us what we need to know about you, the promises of tomorrow. Thank you. Our hope is in this book. In our lives, it's in this book. God changes things. He loves us. He changes things. He brings the things in our heart. He brings them to reality in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here to find the answer. That we can see and learn. Oh, Lord, if they just read one book and read it again and read it again, Lord, I know how you work, Lord. If they just read the first letter of John, we're going to read today a little of it. If they just read that every day, they would get something different out of it. Different out of this. You know why? Miss Pat, it's called the living word. This word's alive. It's truth for you. It's love for you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that came today to be fed your word, Lord. My prayer now is that they hear and receive and want more. That, Lord, would be the greatest gift, that they want more. Oh, Lord, thank you for the things you do in our lives. Thank you for those who came today just to be here with us and just see. And Lord, just let them enjoy. See the difference here when we do what Paul says, preach the word. It's a beautiful day, Lord. A beautiful day in this family. We have so much to be thankful for. We lift up those, maybe their hearts and their spirits aren't happy this morning, Lord, with things in their lives, Lord. So we gather together as a family and we lift them up as they would lift others up, Lord. So that's the gift. Together we lift each other in need. And in times of sadness and in times of joy, we share it with each other. That's so beautiful. In your house on this day, we thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Simon Peter for being here last week. We have another guest speaker. Sit back, we'll begin. John, how are you today? You good? Good. How you doing? You guys are here with me today. Come on, now let me hear you say, praise to God. Thank you. You liking my hat? I know Simon was here last week. I don't really like sports, but I know he was a Yankee fan, so I wear this hat just to bug him. So when you talk to him again, you just say, because I really don't like this team either. Wear that about as long as I can wear it. I'm here today to talk to you. I know Simon was here last week. You know Simon means reed. Blown side to see on a reed. That's what a reed does. You ever see a reed, long reeds when the wind blows? And that was Simon. And then every now and then, and Jesus called him Peter because you say you're the rock. But if you read the words, kind of funny because we used to smile with the rest of us to smile when we see. Because every now and then Simon would we'd get something wrong and then Jesus would call him Simon again. We say he's called him Simon again. See, he wasn't the rock all the time. My name is John. And I ask you today, whose report will you believe? Whose report? Where do you put your faith today? Where do you put it? Do you put it on man? Do you put it in God? Do you put it in your church? Or do you put it in the Bible? If the Bible says one thing and your church says another, where do you go with it? Amen? Where do you put your faith? Right here in this word. What place do you put the written word? What place do you put it? Hallelujah. My name's John. I'm a fisherman. George, another fisherman, you see. I had a bigger business. Me and my brother James and my older brother James. Did you know James was my older brother? Yeah, is it true? He's my older brother. We had a business. We had a lot of people working for us. It was a successful. Jesus came and said, I will make you a fisher of men. I will let you pull men into his kingdom. Amen? And I said, okay. Hallelujah. Now, you notice something in the Bible. You notice something. Who did Jesus choose to walk with him? He picked fishermen. He picked another fisherman. He picked a tax collector. Ooh, Levi. You all know Levi? I know you call him Matthew. That's okay. He picked the people who would follow him. See? He picked pick people who had a heart that would take and follow what he was going to teach them. He didn't pick people in high places who already had their mind made up and he couldn't work with and talk to and change. He picked men like you and me. He picked men who say, Lord, I want to know more. I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. See, he picked the lowly of the chosen. Amen? You see? He picked me. I'm just so glad. He picked a David. Anybody know David? This is good, Greg. You're going to like this. David was a musician. David was a songwriter. He was the youngest of the family. So, Judy, so if David walked in, you just say, he's just a musician and a songwriter and the youngest of the family. You wouldn't believe him, and now would you, see? But see, God knew that David would be a man after his own heart, you see? So being a musician all of a sudden isn't a bad thing after all, because now I play music to God. And being the youngest isn't bad because my heart is just burning love for God, amen? Being the youngest one, it was always, I was the baby. Mama loved me, I loved my mama. That's so nice. Anybody here the baby of the family? You know what I'm saying? No. You? No, Cassie. Oh, you talk about spoiled. No, I mean, no, she gives it to Marilyn's the baby too? Well, that just blows that, doesn't it, Greg? I am in the Bible. I want you to know where I'm in the Bible. I wrote a lot of things in the Bible. I am the one that they called the one whom Jesus loved. The disciple who Jesus loved was me. So I wrote it, didn't I? About me. The one who Jesus... When you see John, now you don't see John anymore. You just say, that's the one that Jesus loved. I'll tell you about that later. You know something else about me, just like a Peter? How many remember I told you last week, for those of you that weren't here, I don't know why you're not here, you need to come here. Your pastor's a pretty cool guy. You don't want to miss it too many Sundays. You know that Peter was married. We talked about that last week. Remember I told you about Peter being married? And you say, how can you know that? I say, because it's right here. Because Matthew wrote that when Jesus, first thing he did was went to Peter's house, and he healed his mother-in-law. That's what it says in the book. Amen? Did you know that I was married too? Oh, yeah. Anybody know my wife's name? Bernie probably knows it. He knows a lot of things, Bernie. My wife's name was Salome. S-O-L-O-M-E. Salome. Do you know who she was, David? She was Mary's sister. I was married to Mary, the mother married to her. You call her the virgin mother? She's a nice lady. I was married to her sister. Jesus is like a cousin to me. See, you don't know these little things. When you start to read and you start to know about me, you start to say, oh, maybe this guy is a special guy. Maybe I should learn more. I was just a fisherman. I'm a nobody special. Don't do it. But I was just a fisherman. But I love God. Can anybody say they love a God this morning? Do you all love a God? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You read the other Gospels. You read Levi's, as Matthew, and you read Mark, and you read Luke. They write about Jesus. They write this and that, like this and that. They tell you the story in a way, just like when you read my Gospel, I have a Gospel too. And where's the carrot? Gospel just means good news. There's four of them. It just means a good news. That's all it is. I write the good news. But I wrote it different. You see, I wrote it from here. I wanted you to know who Jesus was because I saw Jesus. You see, I walked with Jesus. How many here ever, you believe in George Washington? How many here ever saw George Washington? Nobody? But you believe? How many here ever saw Abraham Lincoln? But you, what? You're telling me Simon used that last week? Simon said the same thing that... You tell us, Simon, or whatever. He told that same joke last week. It's no joke. Mr. Richie, good to see you, my friend. I'm a John now. It's a no joke. You don't know George Washington, but you believe. See, I walked with Jesus. You got to understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a time, this is a good story, you like this story. And I want to make a story because I want you to think. This is in the Bible. There's a time of me and the James and the other guys, we were walking and we saw these people. We did not know them. And they were casting out demons and healing people. And they were using Jesus' name. And they were casting out people and they were casting out demons and they were healing people. You know what me and my brother did? We walked over and said, "You need to stop that. We don't know who you are. We don't know where you came from. We don't know what you learned about our Lord and Savior. We don't know who you are. So you need to stop doing that because we don't know you." We felt good. We went. You know what we did? We went back and we told Jesus. We said, "Guess what we did? We saw people casting out demons in your name. And we told them to stop because we didn't know who they were, Jesus. We didn't know anything." And you know what Jesus said? And I read it right here. He said, "Do not forbid them. For no one works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me." And Jesus said, "For he who is with us is not against us. Who is not against us is on our side." Make you think about that now. Next time you see somebody that you don't know in some building you don't know talking about Jesus, you can go, "I don't know that person. He can't be talking about my Jesus." Do that noise for me, you do. And Jesus said, anybody who is not against us is what? And he told John in no uncertain terms, "Do not forbid them." For when people start talking about Jesus and teaching you about Jesus, those people can no walk away later say something bad about who? Jesus. Are you with me? Jesus said, "For he who is not against us is on our side." Say that. On our side. He doesn't belong to our team. He can't be a guy, a team player, amen? He doesn't belong in this league. Jesus said that. Jesus said, who said that? Hallelujah, you learned that. Now there's another time. We was going to the Samaritans over there in the village, and they didn't want to hear from Jesus. Oh my God, Dale, they didn't want to hear. They were, and me and my brother James, we went to Jesus and said, "Okay, let's see what I can do. I want you to send fire and brimstone. We can do it. Let's fire and brimstone and let's burn that city down." Because they didn't want to hear about Jesus. And Jesus called me and my brother sons of thunder. They had that little thunder on the people. I wanted to. He didn't do anything like that. But he called us sons of thunder because we are on fire for who? For God. We were so wanting everybody to know about God, and we were so mad when they didn't. We wanted fire and brimstone. We wanted to blow the town up, the village. And Jesus said, "Sons of thunder." But he knew my heart was so for him that the dedication, he would take that anger, that anger that we had, and use it for the goodness of his ministry. Amen. He knew that. Let me tell you about John. Please listen, please. I wish some more people were here today. I pray. Anybody have a child? You have children, grandchildren. But there's always that one that wants to be with you. Do you have one? You ever loved anybody like that? That you just wanted to be with them? Who's my dad and my mom and dad? I wanted to be with them. You have a grandchild, our little granddaughter. Wants to be with Nana. You could tell that there's a special love. Cassie, ma'am, everybody loves you, but you could see that you and your daddy, you can see that. Understand, do you understand that love? Because you got to understand John. John was different than the other disciples because he wasn't afraid to show love. So John, he was called the disciple who Jesus loved, Elaine. That's what they called him. They all talked about him. There he goes. There he goes. There's that. John, this John, the fisherman, he held closest to Jesus. So listen, picture this picture. He held close to Jesus. So he sat next to him. And he laid his head on his lap. It says there, he put his head on his bosom. He laid there. So Jesus had a chance to do what with John? Talk to John. They had... Do you think think about the love you have, that special love to bond you've seen in your life. You see, he had a chance to talk to John. So John's laying there with Jesus. And the other disciples are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Nobody's doing anything wrong. He just said, while I've got him here, I want to be with him. Amen? And so Jesus started to talk to John. He had to talk because you could tell by the writing. And he's laying on Jesus' lap, Judy. And Jesus starts to talk to him about heaven. Why did John so know much about heaven more than the others? Because he was talking to who? So maybe he was talking to Jesus. And tell me about heaven. Oh, it's a beautiful place. Tell me about where the creation of the world. Because when you read John, when you read his gospel, he talks about in the beginning. Amen? And I don't mean in a baseball game in the beginning. I meant in the beginning. How did John know that? Who did he spend his time with? Who? He was there. He wanted to taste it. Lord, tell me more stories. So Jesus would say, in the beginning, my Father and I created this. And in the beginning, we had this. This is what we made for you. And this is what heaven is. And this is what heaven looks like. Thank you. It wasn't that the other disciples could not have shared in it. It was more that John chose above all things to spend what time he had with Jesus. And that gave him these blessings. That gave John these blessings to share with who?
Us.
With us. Now I'm going to read. I'm going to read my word to you. I'm going to read some. You stay with. Please wake up and you stay with me, because this is what I pray, that you receive this now. How could this man have known all the things he written? Because he spent the time with who? Whose report are you going to believe? God or man? You decide. Do you believe the word of God, or do you believe some man telling you about the word of God? John, the disciple who Jesus loved, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness and declare to you. Who does he declare to? Hallelujah. That eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Amen. John is telling you. He laid on Jesus' lap. He heard this from the Lord. He had to share this with you. This was the most important thing to him, to share Jesus with who? Us. This is the message, John said, which we have heard from him. From whom? Jesus. And we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You notice he said practice the truth. Nobody's perfected until we're with Jesus. Amen. Notice that John said, as we practice the truth. That means every day, Judy, is a new day to walk. Walter, it's a new day. Each hour is a new, as we practice. We're not perfect. How many know we're not perfect? I'm sorry, but nobody here is perfect. I just got to tell you, nobody here is perfect. Amen? Nobody. We're walking with him. We're practicing our walk with him. Amen? We're growing stronger in him. But he's saying that. John is saying that. He said, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We're practicing. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from what? How much? Was there, no, it can't be all. There's got to be a sin you committed 10 years ago that you're not forgiven for, right? Or does all cover that? There might be something that you did 25 years ago that was your sin, right? And that can't be covered, right, Miss Pat? Because, well, I just, he doesn't care what you think about what's received, amen? He doesn't care about what you think has been delivered and salvation. He's telling you, God's word, John is telling you that he's cleansed you from what? All sin by the blood of the Lamb. He is in the light and we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we do deceive ourselves. Of course we do. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, is faithful and just. Listen to what he's going to listen. If we confess our sins to him, as David did, he is faithful and just to listen. Forgive us our sins. Say that with me. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just to forgive us, but to cleanse us. And when you clean something, anybody here know how to clean something? When you clean it, it's cleansed. Guess what? It's gone. Amen. The remembrance of what we cut on that cutting board last night, Roger, is gone. Amen. It's cleansed. It's forgotten. God says, I've cleansed you from what?
Oh,
hallelujah. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Forgiveness. Ours. A gift. Without it, now, remember I talked about my friend David? David was an adulterer. Does anybody know that? David was a liar. Amen. David was a murderer. Did you know that? God called him a man after his own heart because David's heart was to serve God. He failed in the flesh and he paid the price. You know, him and Bathsheba had a baby. The baby died. Hallelujah. Lost his first baby. I don't know what God did or how God did. That's between God and David and them. But their first child, they lost their first child. But they also had Solomon together. Amen. They had one of the greatest prophets in our book. But I ask you this. I ask you, if you don't believe this, then who forgives you? Who cleanses us? You can't buy it, right? I can't go down to Walmart later and buy a box of forgiveness, amen? I can't put $1,000 in that thing and say, I'm buying my forgiveness today, amen? It's your heart. Your heart. You're saying, Lord, I am sorry that I did what I did. Because David told us, who do we sin against? God. And who forgives us? So if we don't accept that, who's, you see what I'm saying? And listen, without Jesus, without the promise, how can anybody be in heaven? If we're not forgiven, if there's a sin that we did that we never got forgiven for, then I ask you this, think about this for a second. How can anybody be in heaven? You see, it'd be empty. David can't be there. Amen. He was at an altar. He can't. He did. He failed. He did it. You did. Solomon had many wives. He did all that. He was crazy. He can't be in heaven. Amen. But we know that all these other people that failed, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He denied the Son. He denied even knowing him. Is he in heaven? Amen. Now he did. He sinned. Who's in heaven? Nobody, because you didn't get for. They're all in heaven, amen. When I ask you today, I ask you in your heart, do you love? Do you have love? Do you have compassion for the Son of God? Do you? And you say, I don't know how much. He doesn't care how much. I'm asking you. Do you have love for somebody else? Do you have compassion for your children, for your family, for your friends? If you have compassion, guess who that comes from? We all fall short. How could we receive but the blood of the Lamb? And John writes this, my little children, he calls us little children. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, has anybody here ever sinned? anyone sins, and if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So if you see or hear anybody that says they don't have any sin, right here in 1 John 8, we deceive ourselves. And if anyone sins, John said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not of ours only, but also for the whole world. Say that with me. The whole world. Be careful. He's forgiven the whole world when they call on him. Amen? Hallelujah. So there's one little piece left. One little piece left. John, and remember again, John laid on Jesus' lap. I always tell the story of the disciples going to Jesus and say, why do you love John more than us? And he said to them, why you ask me that? He said, because you let him lay his head on your lap. And Jesus said, no, he was the only one that wanted to. Amen. It's not that Peter didn't love him like John did. It's not like Matthew didn't love him. It's not like Andrew and James didn't love him. But John loved him. Jesus had him right here in his lap. He sat down and he sat there. And if you could see him rubbing his hair and just talking to him and telling him about creation, telling him about heaven, telling him about love, telling him about forgiveness, telling him about everything that he needed to know. And John, just his heart is exploding, telling you today. And his little letter, was that hard to understand? I just read from the Bible. Is that hard to understand? Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. You can, now here's the last little bit. You must do one thing. One thing, yep. I thought, Pastor, you didn't have to do anything. Yeah, you have to do. You have to forgive who? Yourself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, if you don't forgive yourself, somebody's failed you. If you don't forgive, if you go to church and you go and you sit there every day and you say, I'm not sure I'm forgiven, somebody's failed you. Amen? Because somebody already paid the price. The deal's done. It's already said. It's in stone. It's done. His blood shed for you was a remission. Amen? So you must forgive you. And you must do it today, or you must tell yourself, I call God a liar. I call John a liar. I call Jesus a liar. David's a liar. They're all... And you would never do that. Amen? So today is your day. Today is your day to forgive you. Today is the day to accept the new you with God. Amen? You and God. No other rules. The commandment it says in here that I give you is to love one another. That's the commandment that God gives, that we love one another. Everybody. Amen? Give him praise and glory. You've been forgiven. Not by me. However you feel, whatever you think, wherever your faith lies, I have a friend of mine, a deacon in another church that I spent a lot of time with. He had an expression. He called it, oh, that's a done deal. That's what he used to say. No matter what you think or feel, it's a done deal. Jesus already did it. He already paid the price. He did it. It's done. Whether what you want to say, how you want to accept, doesn't matter to God. He paid the price. You have something new. Whether you want to have it or not is up to you. How much of it you want is up to you, right, Miss Pat? How much of Jesus you want in your life is up to you. Not going to hit you over the head. But when you talk to him and pray to him, he's going to lead you in some beautiful ways. He's going to give you joy where other people said, how could you be smiling at a time like this? And I'm not smiling because I'm happy. I'm smiling because I have inner joy knowing the truth about life. Knowing my Savior. John the Beloved. Can you imagine being the person that they say, the disciple whom Jesus loved? And guess what, folks? You're all disciples. You're all followers. The word English disciple simply means a follower. You're all followers. You're all disciples. You're all healers. Does that sound crazy? It's the truth. You're healers. You might not tell people about Jesus, and that's you, but if you do tell somebody, you've healed them. If you turned them from a way that they were walking, you healed them. If you gave them hope with Jesus, you've healed them. If you gave them something more than they had before through Jesus, you've healed them. If you gave them Jesus, you've healed them. They could be everything else in the world, but if you gave them Jesus and they took it into their heart, you healed them. Because you gave them the healer. Wow, that's a wonderful day. I know.